don't know if you saw it in the bulletin today, but one of the numbers that we try to keep track of, not that numbers are all that important, they really aren't, but it does help us to see, you know, if we're making progress in different areas, in different areas of priority. We had about 180 adults in connection groups in the past couple of weeks. For us, that's a high watermark. I mean, that's amazing, 180 adults in connection groups. So anybody else, like, excited about that? Yeah. So a lot, and you are pretty much convinced that your connection group is the best one. Yeah, exactly. Right. And one of the reasons why we love getting involved, getting people connected in smaller groups and smaller community, whether that's a group of 5 or 6 or in some cases 15 to 20, is that when we get into those smaller environments, we get a chance to hear each other's stories in a more relaxed setting. Because, you know, everyone's got a story. And when you're here on a Sunday morning and there's another 150 people around you, you know, you look around, you might get to recognize some faces and go, yeah, I kind of know them, and that they're nice. But it's when we get a chance to hear each other's stories with greater depth that we really get an appreciation for what God's doing in their life. It's funny, even in those connection groups, how you know, people that in their walk of life, they might seem like they're in very different places. I mean, one person's maybe higher on the socioeconomic scale, and others lower, and different, you know, political persuasions and kind of philosophical things. But you get them all in the same place, and you hear where people are coming from, and you go, oh, I understand now. And even if you see in their life, you go, how did you make that decision? Why did you end up there? When you hear their story, even if you don't agree with it, you still go, oh, I see how you could end up there. It increases our empathy. It increases our compassion. Well, today we're going to be looking at a story in the book of Mark where we're going to get kind of the inside scoop on two people in a crowd. And most of the people around this story, they wouldn't even see it if we hadn't heard their story. And it's a little bit like that. You know, every one of us here has a story and how we're trying to meet with the Lord. And my prayer is that as we you know, interact with the story, we'll see how, you know, God does meet us, you know, in our places of need, and how, as we do hear each other's stories, we just get a greater appreciation for how good God is. We're in a series called Life Support, where we're reading through the book of Mark over 40 days. And actually, can we put up that PowerPoint? That'd be really cool. There's three challenges through the series that you spend about 10 minutes a day in God's Word and just reading a short passage of Scripture and saying, Lord, would you speak to me through this? What does this passage teach me about Jesus? What does this passage teach me about myself? Are you trying to remind me of something through this passage? Holy Spirit, speak to me through God's Word. And we're challenging people to talk with each other, with their family units, about what God is doing in your life. So whether that's, you know, maybe you're a parent of young kids like we are, and so, you know, we talk our girls in at night and we read the Bible passage and we ask, you know, have a few minutes of discussion about it. You know, what did you notice about the story today, honey? Or, you know, what do you think about this? And do you know what this word means? And we just start walking through God's Word so that we're talking about it as families. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's as you're driving to work together, you just talk about it. Hey, what did the Lord teach you today? Or what's God putting on your heart? Or that passage that we read earlier, what do you think about that? We're talking about it. You can even talk about it on Facebook if you want to. If virtual friends either feel safer or you just, you know, you're looking, I don't know who to talk to. That would be a great way to do it. Facebook.com/Columbia Growth. There's discussion happening every single day on these same scripture passages. Or the third challenge is to somehow, in some form, be involved with a connection group. Whether that's one of the 15 that you see listed in your bulletin and you're out on the board there, they'd love to have you. Or it might be a more informal group. You've got some groups that are kind of off the chart that way. They're ninja groups. They sort of meet without us talking about it very much. But it doesn't matter where you are. It just matters that you're in some environment where you're talking about your faith with other people. So that's the challenge, excuse me, through the series. And for those of you that are following along on a day-to-day basis, the passage that we're going to be looking at today was Friday's discussion passage. And we're in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43, looking looking at the stories of two people in a crowd that were needing help from Jesus. So let's just read through it together and talk about it. Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. So here's a guy that is kind of in an upper socioeconomic class. He's a respected leader in the local synagogue. He's probably a person of some means, but he's in a desperate situation. Let's find out what it is. He pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. You know, you can have all the money in the world, all the respect in the community, and there are still going to be moments where you are absolutely desperate and there's nothing you can do. Some of you have been right there. I mean, you have all the things that the world could offer, and yet you just hit the end and you go, I can't fix this. Money can't fix this. Influence can't fix this. And so we come to a point of desperation. We're like Jairus. We just fall on our faces before God. God, please come and help. Help. My daughter is dying. Some of you have been right there. You're in the ER, and all the money in the world can't change the situation for your son or for your daughter. And you just cry out to God. God, please. But he's not the only one in the crowd. Let's meet the next person. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet, instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I would be healed. Around you there's a piece of cloth. Pick it up if you would. Just hold it in your hand. Here's a woman that she is in a desperate situation. Now she is in an entirely different place in society. She's in, if we're to describe her condition in kind of polite settings, we'd say she's got a female problem. She's got a female condition. If you were following Levitical law at that point, the law of the land, the way that people saw the world at that point, this is a woman that would be perpetually unclean. She shouldn't be in this crowd. She knows that. She should be outside the camp. She probably can't bear children, which means she has very little status in the society. If she's married, her marriage isn't good, because the woman's role is in that society and in that time was to bear children. She has very little hope of a long-term future because who's going to provide for her? Whether or not she has a husband, we don't know, but she certainly doesn't have children. Who's going to provide for her? She's about as low as you can get societally. And just imagine her in that crowd. She knows she shouldn't be there. And she's like the people you sometimes see in the crowd. They're there, but they're working as hard as they can to be invisible. Their heads are down. They're not looking at the people around them. They don't want anybody to acknowledge them. Some of you might be like that today. I mean, you just barely made it through the doors of the church, your head's down. You're like, oh, I know that's a friendly church. Man, I kind of wish they weren't so friendly. Because I just want to kind of be here. I just want to kind of be here. And I'm hoping that God meets me here. You might be feeling some of the same things that woman felt. I don't belong here. I shouldn't be here. If anybody knew where I was coming from, what I've done in life, they would condemn me, or so you think. And so she hangs on to this one hope, not even willing to ask Jesus for help. I mean, too scared. She thinks, if I can just touch his clothing, maybe then I'll be healed. She's been waiting for that healing for 12 years. Don't you think she's been praying over those 12 years? God, would you please help me out here? God, would you please meet my need? And you feel that cloth in your hand. Some of you, you've been there, haven't you? There's been something in your life you've been praying for years and years and years. That loved one who just can't understand your faith, and you want them to have it so badly. That marriage that just doesn't seem to get better. A chronic illness, perhaps. A vice that you just say, God, please help this to get better. As you feel that cloth in your hand, and you feel the desperation of that woman. Some of you are right there, aren't you? So, hanging on to hope, she says, if I can just touch his clothes, then I'll be healed. Well, let's see what Jesus does. Verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And then it gets funny. Jesus says weird things sometimes, doesn't he? He's in this crowd. Everybody's there. And he's like, who touched me? So the disciples think the same thing. They go, you see the people crowding around you, the disciples answer, and yet you say, who touched me? Like everybody touched you, Jesus. Come on. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell at his feet, just like Jairus. She was just as desperate, wasn't she? Trembling with fear, and she told him the whole truth. Some of you are terrified to come clean before God. But let's see how Jesus responds to this. Verse 34, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. For some of you here today, as you hear God's word and you feel that cloth in your hand, and you are like that woman. You have been wrestling with something for years and years and years, and it feels like heaven is shut tight. I believe God's word to us today says, don't give up. Today could be your day. You can still take it to Jesus. You can still touch his clothing, and Jesus can still heal. But now in the story, we go back to Jairus, because he's got an even more urgent problem, doesn't he? Because what's going on with his family? His daughter is sick and about to die. And Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. And he stopped. He is no longer going to Jairus' house. He stopped to talk to some woman, and Jairus has no idea what's going on with her. He doesn't know the story, just like you. You don't know the story of the person next to you. And yet sometimes in life it feels like your prayer, your answer to your desperate prayer, your answer to a thing that you think God should provide this, it's been delayed. Nothing is happening. Jesus stopped moving. So let's pick it up with Jairus. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. They came with this happy news. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Verse 36, I just love this verse, okay? Overhearing, or now some of you have different translations out there, like you've got the NIV, and what's the other word that's often in there? Ignoring. Jesus hears it, but he doesn't heed it. He's heard those words. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. You got some bad news bandits in your life, don't you? You got some people that can tell you why, all these great reasons why you should just give up on hope. That's never going to happen. That's a dead issue. Just give up. Please, be realistic, would you? This isn't the land of unicorns and fairy tales. Just give up. Well, God's word tells us to do a very important thing right there. Ignoring what they said, that's a verse you can memorize. Ignoring what they said, turn to your neighbor and say, ignoring what I said. Some of us, we need to ignore a few of the things around us. We hear it, but we don't heed it. Because there are people that will tell you all these great reasons why you shouldn't trust God in your situation, why you should be more realistic, why you should lower your hope. Sometimes we need to ignore what the people around us say. We need to hear it, but not heed it. Don't be afraid, Jesus says, just believe. Verse 37, he didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and said to them, I just love how Jesus asks the funniest questions. Just check this out. He's at a funeral, and people are crying, and he says, why all this commotion and wailing? Why are you so upset? The child is not dead, but asleep. And then what do they do?
Laugh.
They laughed at him. Some people have laughed at you, haven't you? Some people have laughed at you for your faith. That's a dead issue. Give up on that one. Time to grow up. They laughed at Jesus too. After he put all of them out, that could be helpful, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went into where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And then verse 43. Have you read the Bible? It's so crazy. It's amazing. He said to them, don't let anyone know about this. Yeah, this girl is dead. Now she's alive. But we think she's hungry. So get her a snack, would you? But shh, don't tell anyone. Isn't that just funny? Don't tell anyone. So we go through this story and ask this question of each other. Where are you in the story? What elements in your life is seeking healing from Jesus today? Are you like that woman? You just barely made it through the door, your head's down, the voices in your head are saying you don't belong here, just give up. You've been asking God for the same stinking thing for the last decade or more. He hasn't answered your prayer yet. Why don't you just give up? Maybe you're like Jairus, and you've been asking for God's help with a pressing need, and you've seen things happen, but then it feels like that prayer is delayed. There is nothing going on, and some of the voices around you are saying, just give up. Just give up. It's a dead issue. Today, you need to ignore some of the voices around you. You need to believe. And as you hold that cloth in your hand, or maybe take it home, use it as a bookmark in your Bible, remember that God still answers prayer. God still brings healing. It's not always in the way that we ask. It's not always in the way we expect. It's certainly not always in the timeline we're looking for. You think Jairus was a little bit confused with how God was working that day? But he still answers prayer. He still does miracles. So don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to take your brokenness to the Lord. Because we all need healing in one way or another. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's physical. We all need healing. And if we could hear each other's stories around this room right now, you'd hear the man that said, I've been clean and sober for 3 months, and I'm just barely hanging on, but God has given me the victory. You'd hear couples saying, we thought it was lost, we thought it was over, and we're still around. If you're the person that said, we were down to our last dime, and God provided, and we're okay, you would hear people that are saying, today I'm just praying because there's somebody I love in my life that's been diagnosed with some scary stuff, and I just don't know. I just don't know how this is going to turn out. If we could only hear each other's stories. We're not so different from these people in the Bible. We're only separated by a couple of thousand years, but human nature is the same, and our God is the same, and we can still cry out to Him and find the help that we need. If we don't give up, and we keep crying out. So I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer, and I would encourage you in that to just, I mean, if it's helpful to you, just to hold that cloth in your hand and relate to how these characters of faith, how they dealt with their unanswered prayer, their times, their long seasons of longing and waiting on God's answer. And maybe it will give you and me the strength to hang on for God's answer now. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you see our brokenness, you see our hurt, you see our need for your help. Because Lord, some of us here this morning are just like that woman. They've been calling out to you for years and years and years, and it feels like nothing's happening. And they're at their end of their rope, and they might not even feel like they belong in church. They feel like they're unclean. But God, you can meet them right here, right now. Please do that by your Holy Spirit. Bring healing in those places of brokenness. Lord, some of us are here, and we're just like that Jairus. We are in a desperate situation. We are crying out for your help on the behalf of someone that we love, and it feels like you're not listening. And the people around us, there's voices telling us to give up. Pack it in. Be more realistic. Lord, help us to hang on. Help us to trust you. So we lay these things at your feet. Time of silence. We continue to call out to you.